Morning.
Morning, Jim.
Well, it's good to be back. Sounds like the, in the words of Forrest Gump, the cough do cold is striking everywhere. We're just kind of getting over it. Well, not just, I think we're pretty well over it, but we've been, kind of since we were here last, we've been kind of battling it a little bit, and it's not a real bad. Well, I take it back, Robin had quite a cold, or quite a cough, but... So anyway, I wasn't even sure I was going to come today, because I wasn't sure I can even get through this. But I called Norman, what, Friday, and said, I'm just going to give you some heads up that I might not show up. And he bribed me, so here I am. No, just kidding. So this morning, I put this lesson together yesterday afternoon, and I've talked before how I have the most saved dogs in the world, because I don't just get up and give these once. I have went through these many times usually by the time I get here, and because of my voice, I read through it, but I haven't given it like I normally do to my dogs or to the basement wall or to wherever I happen to be. And so you'll have to bear with me a little bit. excuse me, but Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas, since we won't be here next week. I don't know about you guys, I just love this time of year, don't you? I have since I was a little kid. I was blessed with wonderful parents that they made the holidays fun and special. And my dad, those that know him, if you don't know him, he's kind of a serious guy most of the time, but he really loves Christmas. Has since he was a little boy, and so he's always made it fun. But I took a drive on... These days get to, so they run into Friday, must have been Friday, and I took a drive over to, had to do some business. So I went to Buffalo, up to Bowman, Scranton, Headinger, and home. So I made quite the circle to the North Country, but it's just, we stay home so much. It's just fun, isn't it, to go places this time of year, because people are just, the spirit of Christmas is at work, isn't it? People seem to be just a little bit more friendly, and they just, you know, the maybe a little more joy. Perhaps you hold, you know, people are more willing to hold that door, aren't they, for each other. It's just a good time of the year. And I was thinking of that as I was driving it. You know, it's too bad, and I know we all say it, the cliche, it's too bad the spirit of Christmas can't go on all year, isn't it? Because, I mean, just think how different the world could be. It could be, and it would be different if we had that same attitude. And it's no coincidence that the spirit of Christmas is truly based on the spirit of Christ, right? Because we see that and we try to emulate it, don't we? And so, boy, it'd be great if we would try to emulate that every day instead of for, what, 4 weeks, give or take? You know, so, you know, because Jesus sure showed us what it meant to treat others, didn't he? But that's not what my lesson's about today. It was just, but I was musing on the season, if you will, And you know, we see these signs, or you guys are probably getting the Christmas cards, you know, and they'll say love, joy, peace on them, and which, once again, where does that come from? We all know where that comes from, don't we? Fruits of the Spirit. It's not, these things aren't just random why they happen during this time of year. You know, the world likes to claim its own thing, but most of the time you can go here and see where they're getting it, can't you? But anyway, you see the word believe, don't you? That's a big topic this time of year, is belief. I, for one, I believe in the spirit of Christmas. And so I was thinking about belief, and I've been going back to John a fair amount. I love the Gospel of John. But anyway, we think about belief. And you can see from the title of my lesson, it's called Belief is More Than Just Believing. There's more that encompasses belief than just the simple idea of believing. And I'm going to try to make some arguments for that this morning. Excuse me. You know, if I was to ask everybody here for a definition of belief, I'm sure without a whole lot of... I'd get probably the same answer relatively, wouldn't I? It would be that, belief is what? To recognize something, right? You acknowledge that it exists, something or someone. That would be a very canned definition of belief. And it's not wrong. And I looked up to see what my old buddy Webster defined it, and Webster's defined it that it is something that is accepted, It's considered to be true or held as an opinion. Well, that I can go along with that as a just a general definition of belief. And then it went on to say that through our belief in something, we are recognizing a state of mind or a habit of mind in which trust or confidence is placed in something or some person. So, yes, that's belief. That's how we like to simplify the idea of belief. And as Christians, most of all, we understand how important belief is, don't we? It's so important that we believe that Jesus is who He says He was. Right? That we believe that He is the Son of God that come down, and we believe in what we read this morning, that He was born of the Virgin Mary, you know, and that He lived the life that He lived. And then He died the death that He died. We have to believe in that, and we have to believe in the life that He, the resurrection. It's imperative that we believe in that. Because it's through that belief, that's where we gain what? That's where we gain that relationship, that forgiveness of sins. The whole reason He came to earth is to fulfill that plan of salvation. Why would we not believe in that? If you're ever going to believe in something, believe in that. But I want you to think about that believing is something more than just simply acknowledging that Jesus and God exists. There's more to belief than that. And I'm going to use a few scriptures from the Gospel of John to back up that idea. That belief is more than just believing. You know, the Gospel of John, like I said, I love the Gospel of John. John takes on a whole, like Norman said this morning, he was trying to steal my whole thunder this morning, I tell you. But the Gospel of John is completely different from the other three Gospels, isn't it? I mean, not completely. The first three Gospels, they really deal with what? The events of Jesus' life and those, including His teachings. John takes on a whole different way of looking at things, doesn't he? I mean, he opens the idea that the beginning was the Word. Well, the Word, you got to go back to the Greek. I'm not going to get into it today, but that means logos. It's this gigantic idea that transcends time, and I can't even begin to define it, but it's not just simple as a word. I mean, on that case, you got to go to the Greek and look at that, what logos. But John, in his writing, is saying it's a bigger thing than you think it is. And he spends a whole book trying to get you to understand that. You know, John, in his writings, a lot of times is trying to elicit a response out of you. Not so much as telling you something, but he's trying to get you to have a positive response, mainly to Jesus. And the book of John, chapter after chapter, takes on belief. You see the word a lot in John. You know, and John even goes so far, he tells us exactly why he wrote the book, doesn't he? Go to John chapter 20, and that's going to be where we're going to start this morning. Excuse me again. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. It says, "Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in that believing you may have life in His name." You know, John tells us, I wrote this, why? So you can believe in Him, and through your belief, you'll have life in Him. But we need to unpack this just a little bit. He says there are many other signs. When we think of signs, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Attesting miracles, right? He performed these things so we would believe in who He is. But I'm going to ask you, maybe signs are a little bit more than just a miracle. A sign, I'm going to give you a definition. A sign is possibly a symbolic action that was designed or meant to teach a spiritual lesson. And where I'm coming for that, yes, we understand the miracles. I'm not taking them away, but you know, there's other things that Jesus taught through other miracles, isn't it? You know, I always think of the one where he meets the woman at the well. That was a symbolic teaching, wasn't it? Yeah, it wasn't a miracle. But it was a symbolic teaching that we can take a spiritual lesson from when he talks about we're no longer going to be held to where we worship, and you know, and he lays down all these things with her, this new way of thinking. So it's a symbolic action that is meant to teach a spiritual lesson. And so then John says, well, he performed these signs so that what? So you may believe. When John talks about belief, he's talking about more than just belief. It's bigger than that, isn't it? Can we all agree on that? Belief is more than just simply believing. There's components of belief. But he says, I wrote it so you will believe, so you can have life. To have life in his name. And so like I said earlier, that belief is more than just believing. It is a positive response to Jesus. There's more that ties into the idea of belief than just acknowledging that he is God. We're going to turn. I'm going to look at some scripture to try to drive home this idea. And once again, Norman had to go and read it this morning. John 1. That's okay. I like reading things more than once. That's how we learn. John 1, verse 12. And we're going to see what some of these responses are that I'm kind of claiming that happens. So in John 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So what does John here tie in to belief? The first word is, you what? You receive him. You receive Jesus. And then it goes on to say what? If you believe in him and you receive him, you are born to God. You know, when John in chapter 20 talks about this idea of belief, I believe he's encompassing all these things as you read through the chapter that he's talking about. Sure, he says in chapter 20 or verse 31, just believe. But here he's saying, you have to believe, but you have to receive him too. You have to receive him and what? Be born to God. Receiving Jesus is like accepting or welcoming his influence on your life, right? And those three things in this scripture all tie together under the tenet of belief. You have to receive him. You have to be born again, or born to God is the word. But we can look at, like I said, just chapter after chapter. If we go turn the page to John 3:36, we're going to see another example. And you know, John 3 more often is known for John 3:16 about who believes in him shall have eternal life. But I want to look at verse 36. It says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. Apologies. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. We can see that this idea of belief encompasses obedience too. Now, I don't know what your translation. Some translations will have those who believe in the Son of eternal life, but he who does not believe, they don't have the word obey. I'm not sure what Bible you have, but so in that case, in the translations, it, to me, obedience can be the same as belief because they're interchanging it depending on if you read the New King James or you read whatever. So obedience is an important part of belief. John doesn't say he who believes has eternal life and doesn't believe. He says he who doesn't, who believes has eternal life, and he who doesn't obey doesn't have the life. Obeying is the same as believing. It's interchanged. You know, in John, 1 John, I think it's 1, where John says, if you love me, Jesus taught you, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We like to go that. Well, he's actually quoting Jesus is speaking in John 14. John 14. And Jesus specifically says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. Obedience is part of this bigger idea of belief. This bigger idea of believing. Okay, I want to go to John 12. In verse 42. And here Jesus is speaking with those and taking time to teach here. And he had just got done telling them that he was going to die and what he was going to go through. But the verse that I have highlighted in my Bible, because I think it's important, it's interesting, is that verse 42. It says, nevertheless, many, even the rulers, believed in him. It says the rulers, they believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. We're going to keep reading. And Jesus said, Jesus cried out. Sometimes we don't put the emotion, I don't think, into the words of Jesus sometimes. We just have a tendency to read it in the form it is. But, and I think I've said that before here, but it says he cried out. It means there was some emotion behind what he was trying to teach them here. And he said, you know, just think of him. Sam said, you know, he who believes in me does not believe. He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. Jesus is showing in verse 42 that belief is not enough, isn't he? You know, there's a teaching in the world that says all you got to do is believe. That's all you got to do. That's why I'm trying to show you that belief encompasses more than just simple believing and saying, I acknowledge. It says those believed in him, but they would not confess him. So a component of belief would be to confess that you believe him, right? To each other, to proclaim it to others. And then he goes on, what I really wanted to see is, verse 48, it says, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings as one who judges him. You know, John talks about this positive response, you know. In verse 48, he who rejects me. Well, if you believe, what is the opposite? Well, John goes on to tell us, it's receiving my sayings. We are to receive his sayings. In verse 47, it says, you are to keep them. All goes up to verse 44 and says, he who believes in me believes in the Son. And he goes on and says, you know, so it's all tied into this tenement of belief, and that through your belief, within that belief, you will keep his word. Right? Belief is just so much bigger than we give it credit for. You know, we can kind of see an example of this in Acts 2, can't we? We can see a culmination of this belief and the positive response of it in Acts 2. We all know this scripture. We know Peter after his first sermon, right? That he basically lamb blasted the Jews and those who had killed Christ for what they had done. And it says there in verse 37, it says, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. They were cut to the quick. They did acknowledge what Peter was telling them, didn't they? I'm not saying that isn't important. And they believed what he was saying. How do we know they believed? Because of what they said, what do we do? What do we do? And then he goes on and says, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. For this promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept exhorting him, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had what? Received his word. Back to receiving the word. They were baptized. And that day were added about 3,000 souls. In the King James Version, I know I've said that before, but I love it. It says they were gladly receiving. They were gladly receiving his word. So you can see through their belief this positive response to Jesus, isn't there? It's all summed up in this short little few verses as an example. You can find them throughout, but this one is pretty concise. It says they received. They gladly received Jesus as their Savior, didn't they? Yes, they believed it. They received it. They were called to an action through water and spirit of baptism, born again to God. Belief in Jesus included action on their part. They aren't saved because of what they did. They were saved because they were listening to what they were told to do. They were being obedient to God. Part of this belief. I'm going to skip out of John because I discovered this verse last night. It's funny how you read things and you forget, and I wish I could remember things like some people can, but Hebrews 11. But I thought here was another component of belief, something that is part of belief. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, and said, and without faith it is impossible to please him. A lot of times we interchange belief with faith, don't we? Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must what? Must believe. That he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Who seek him. Who search him out. You know, it always amazes me that so many people want to be with Jesus in heaven, but they don't seek to live with him here. Well, if you want to be in heaven in all the glory with him, why wouldn't you want to be in the glory and with him now? Why is it can be just as good here with him, right? So that always kind of confounds me. They want to go to heaven, but they want to live like hell on earth. You've heard that saying. It doesn't make sense. Because it says, through your belief, you will seek him. You will want to have him right there with you. All the time. You know, that's what Hebrews 11, we all know what that's called, the faith chapter, isn't it? Because we can see examples of all these people, especially through the Old Testament, that they what? They seeked God. And they believed in him, and they did, you know, and you can see the action, the positive response that they did through that belief. Right? You know, I love that in Hebrews 11, you know, how Abraham, he was willing to sacrifice his son, all the time reasoning that he could probably, you know, in verse 19, he could just give it, you know, he could raise him from the dead. He just reasoned it, you know. That's a neat verse that Abraham had that kind of faith. That's not part of my lesson, I just want to say that. But anyway, These people in this chapter, they sought out God, didn't they? And they sought out to do his will. Well, you took the clock down. Didn't want me to refer to the clock anymore. Anyway, because of my voice, I didn't make this, tried to keep this short today, but You know, and so I hope today that maybe I was able to show that belief is something more than just simply sitting in the chair saying, I believe in Jesus. There's more to it than that. And that's what John is trying to get across in the book that he writes. There's more to it. It's a bigger picture, almost more than we can comprehend. But we can comprehend it because we just need to believe, and through that belief we will do these things. It's a positive response that will lead us to action, won't it? Believing is more than just belief. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Through our belief, we gain life. A lifestyle. I believe belief will lead us to change our lives accordingly. I don't know how it can't. John's all-encompassing idea of belief, it will lead us to receive Jesus. It'll lead us to seek Him out. We obey His commandments, we'll be born again to God, he says. You know, John, he repeats himself at the end. He doesn't want you to miss the point, does he? That's why he repeats himself, I think, in John 20. Don't miss it. Believe in Him so you can have life through Him. Don't miss the Anointed One, the Christ, who came to earth to grant life to all who believe and do His will. You know, and what spurred on this lesson, well, one, I heard a really good Bible study by one of the preachers at the Huron Church of Christ, and he kind of talked about this, and I've tried to kind of spin it myself. I have not met those guys. They're young, and they're pretty knowledgeable guys, but I think his name's Nate, to give him some credit. I kind of built this upon a lesson or a Bible study that he gave, and then tried to... But anyway, the reason I decided, well, because of belief of the season, but also 1 Peter 3 tells us always to be ready, right? To give that response of the hope that is in you. You know, to be able to... You know, we are not meant to look for arguments. I'm going to leave you with this. We're not out to look for fights with the church down the road. But you still have to be ready for that conversation. And I believe that immensely. And when I get told you just have to believe, and that's all there is, hopefully through this lesson, you can go, yes, I agree with you. You're not looking to confront, but you're saying, I do agree with you. All we do have to believe. But then you can turn to the Scripture and say, but there's a whole lot more to believing than just a recognition. And then you can go to the Scriptures and say, here, you have to receive Him. You have to be born of Him. You have to be... So that's the purpose behind the lesson. To prepare us to go out and be that light and to help teach others. Not to prove yourself right, but to show them the truth of God. Right? So anyway, I want to thank you for your attention this morning and once again, and letting me come the last few months. It's been enjoyable. We've enjoyed it. Like I said, this will be the last one for a while. It's just getting harder and harder to to get here. So I really want to thank all of you for allowing me to come. It's really helped me to grow. Once again, I just want to thank you so much. And hopefully we'll be back. That's kind of my plan. Someday, if the doors aren't locked. But no, we've really enjoyed it. So. Thank you.